cargo ship this morning in Kazakhstan. The rocket is bringing equipment and supplies to the International Space Station. It's expected to dock Saturday. The World Wildlife Foundation has accused Nestle and Kraft Foods of illegally growing coffee in an Indonesian national park, endangering the survival of some of the world's rarest species. Sumatran tigers, elephants, and rhinos are at risk as the giant corporations continue to clear as much as 20% of the World Heritage Site for commercial cultivation. For the second straight year, cancer deaths in the U.S. have dropped. Experts say the turnaround is due to early detection and more effective treatment of tumors. Skype says it is launching domestic calling plans for 24 countries and Hong Kong. The internet phone service charges for connection and a monthly subscription of about $6.50, but no per-minute fees. Juice maker Palm has agreed to stop animal testing on its pomegranate products. That after Whole Foods threatened to remove the products from its shelves. Palm has refused to discuss whether it will hire other companies to use animal testing for Palm goods. Light sweet crude is trading at $50.60 a barrel. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 6 points at 12,583. The Nasdaq is down 23 points at 2456. And the S&P 500 is down 2 points at 1428. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Every week, I try to do at least one show called The Week in Review. I know that I spend a lot of time debating the bad guys and, interviewing the good guys. And it's hard sometimes for you folks to get a word in edgewise. So, here's your chance to comment on anything and everything going on in the news of the week. Maybe you want to talk about yesterday's show, where I got a lot of positive feedback. Thank you all for grilling John Cox. John Cox is the former Republican Party chair of Cook County, the county that includes Chicago. And apparently he's running for president. I didn't realize that at the time that I interviewed him, but he made it very clear. And to me, he kind of typified all that's wrong with the Republican Party. He considers things like cutting student loan rates to be extreme. He considers things like allowing seniors to get lower drug prices by negotiating with pharmaceutical companies the way every other country does it, extreme. And it was amazing to me to really watch him try to defend that kind of thing. And, I know that some of you, a few of you, you're actually the minority, but a few of you say, why, Mark, do you invite all these Republicans on air? We have a lot of right-wing talk radio. Why even give them a voice? And my answer is, I invite them on air to show them, to show you, how silly their arguments really are. I mean, it's one thing to invite on air someone you agree with, and that's all very nice and all very happy, but I want to show our listeners that, bring on any Republican, anyone. I'd love to have Dick Cheney. Bring on Bill O'Reilly. Bring on Sean Hannity. It's not a question of ability to debate. It's a question of the bankruptcy of their ideas. And what's interesting is that, I just think we have a lot to cheer about. I'm rarely happy on this show. I'm always complaining about this, that, or the other. But as I look at this week's news, there is a lot of good going on, and a lot of it is due to you folks. Due to you folks listening in the Head On Radio Network, due to you folks helping out Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. By the way, he, of course, archives not only my show, but a whole host of progressive radio hosts, and he could use some money for his fund drive. So please do that. Go to whiterosesociety.org. But it's also the people who voted for the Democratic Party. Now, I remember very clearly some of you to the left of me, and there's plenty of room to the left of me. I'm sort of a mainstream Democrat, so I know that there are folks that are more liberal than I, and that's fair. But some that are on the leftist edge of the Democratic Party were complaining Republicans and Democrats are all alike. I'm not going to vote at all. I'm going to vote for the Green Party. I'm not going to throw my vote on the Democrats. Have you seen now that argument is complete hogwash? I hope that anyone who says that to you, you just say you're an idiot. All you had to do was look at today. Look at what's gone on in the last 2 weeks in the Democratic Congress. the House passing a very stringent ethics bill. Yes, the Republicans voted against it in the Senate. They're filibustering it. I'll talk about that. I want to get to that. But I think we're going to prevail. Because even though Republicans defend corruption, I want to see them do a whole filibuster on why they have a right to take bribes. We'll talk about that. Just allowing the government to negotiate better Medicare prices helps millions, tens of millions of seniors and other sick people in the United States of America. Just yesterday, students got a break. The Democrats cut student loan rates from 6.8% to 3.4%. And not only that, but they paid for it. So those of you that are fiscally responsible, I don't use the term fiscally conservative anymore because the so-called conservatives are spending like drunken sailors, but those of you that are fiscally responsible will like to know that the Democrats did not cut student loan rates by raising subsidies, by giving more taxpayer benefits to the banks. They took the money from the banks. Ooh, there's an idea. They literally cut the subsidy to the banks and are using it to fund the loans. Why didn't Republicans think of that? Oh, yeah, because they're owned by the banks. I got to tell you, I'm in good mood today. I went through my Washington Post, and I saw page after full-page ad of flailing by all the corporate interests spending the hundreds of millions they have trying to convince us that trying to help seniors is wrong and trying to help students is wrong and trying to stop lobbyists from owning our government is wrong. Literally, it seemed like every other page was a full-page ad against the minimum wage. They're losing. They're losing. Finally, we're getting some victories. Now, I realize I'm no Pollyanna here. I realize it's going to be hard to get through the Senate. I realize Republicans are going to filibuster a lot of this stuff. I realize that Bush may veto a decent amount of this stuff. But the American people are on our side, and we're on the American people's side. And as much as we have a lot of intra-party debates between those of us that argue the Democrats aren't going far enough and those of us that say, you know, it's doing pretty good, and let's be clear how much better we are off as a nation than we were just 3 months ago. Before we talk about all we have yet to do, and it's a lot, folks, let's look back and see how far we've come. To me, the thing that put the biggest smile on my face today was seeing that the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the secret court that's supposed to oversee warrants over terrorists, has reasserted its authority, forcing the administration to back down. After 4 years of insisting that they did not have to follow the Constitution, they didn't have to follow the law, that the president had the right to open our mail, to review our phone calls, to listen in, to read our emails, now it's actually going to be unconstitutionally. The administration is trying to put a happy face on this. They're trying to pretend that they were the ones who unilaterally decided to follow the law. That's simply not the case. Just on January 10th, a judge on the FISA court issued orders to bring the National Security Agency program under the secret court's authority. They were infuriated by the administration openly violating the law. And the administration, well, they don't think, well, you know what, this thing was going to go before a court on the 31st of January. It had already been declared unconstitutional in the lower court. It was going before the appellate court on the 31st. And Congress was starting to grill Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez about all the details. And so now they think, well, no one will follow up on this. Well, you watch, my friends. And if I'm wrong, we'll call them on it. But I think the Democrats are going to continue to investigate. Because it's not fair to openly break the law for 5 years. And then when you're caught, and, you know, things that can lead to impeachment, folks, then they're like, oh, well, no, okay, we'll follow the law. If it was so important to break the law to catch terrorists for 5 years, well, how come you're okay now? And how many terrorists did you catch by breaking the law for 5 years? Of course, this is all under the radar. The big news is Iraq. It's always Iraq. And that's okay, too. I support the non-binding resolution of the Democrats that I think is going to get a lot of bipartisan support against the war. Now, I know many of you argue it should go further. I agree. I think they need to start cutting off the funding. But it's a first step, and I think it's a good first step, to show the nation overwhelmingly is opposed to further escalation in Iraq, that we don't trust the Maliki government, and we don't want American troops to be basically put in to do some ethnic cleansing, as I suspect the Maliki government will have them do. They'll use our American troops against the Sunnis, but not against the Shiites. I want no part of it. Lots to talk about this week. Barack Obama entering the race. I welcome him in the race. It's certainly far too easy for me to decide who I want to be the nominee, but Obama is certainly a powerful, effective speaker. He's the kind of person I think who can win votes across the aisle, and he's got his head on right. He's is he too young? Is he too inexperienced? I don't know. Too early for me to make that such a decision, but I'm glad to see him in the race. I hope it invigorates the debate, and we could do a heck of a lot worse than Barack Obama. So lots to talk about, folks. I want y'all to join in. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Of course, you can always call in the Head-On Radio Network, 877-4-HEAD-ON. And we'll be right back with your phone calls right after this.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse. With 3.2 million members, MoveOn.org Political Action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. I do want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Sarge in Mississippi, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm actually in a good mood today. Not everything's working right in the world, but at least we're on the right track, it seems.
Well, you ready for a little bit more good news?
Yes, I certainly am. I always like good news.
And this is a pat on the back to the Democrats. I got a call from the Democratic Homeland Security Committee.
The person I told you to call.
That's right.
All right. What'd they say?
And they told me that according to them, they ordered FEMA to replace those locks on those FEMA trailers, the ones
yep.
that were so easy to pick,
right?
And, And they said they had already changed them, and Homeland Security Committee told me to look into it, and if those things aren't changed, somebody's going to be in some serious trouble.
And see, Sarge, you had no faith in me and my party. Have a little faith. I said it might take a week or two. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, now, I'm a Democrat. I always have been.
I know, but I mean, I meant the leadership. I mean, I've worked in Congress, and I know these things can take some time, but they're good people on these. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say every one of them is good people, but most of these people are people like me who are simply true believers who want to help and want to do what they can. I'm very pleased to hear that.
They're also going to talk to Jim Yancey, and I'm glad because that's the one guy that can, give them first-hand knowledge right on the scene, because he's the one that is director of Jackson County Community Services Coalition, and he deals with this stuff day in and day out. And, he sees stuff and that the rest of us wouldn't even know about. So,
well, that's great. And in fact, if he's really good, and my guess is he is, particularly if you recommend him, the Democrats can hold a hearing. It's all these things we couldn't do just 2 months ago. They can hold a hearing. In fact, one of the questions I would ask them is, are you going to have a hearing on post-Katrina? Because if you have a hearing, what that does is it brings all the members on the committee in the room, and, they listen. And they listen to people talk about real problems, and Jim Yancey can testify. And then when they hear about the problems, again, you have even more people acting. Did you ask them about that?
Well, yeah, and they said they gotta get some evidence together first before they even start thinking of hearings. But
okay, well, that's fair. I mean, listen, we're hitting the ground running. You know, we look at what we've done in 100 hours. It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think you should expect hearings by March. And if you don't get hearings by March, you need to go after them again.
Once they start talking to Jim Yancey, they'll learn enough. Jim's been on Bob's show. He's been on Mike Malloy.
I'm happy to have him here too, Sarge. Just tell him to send me an email, and I'll have him on next week.
Okay, I sure will, because he'll be glad to do it. But you know, this is really going good. Our Mississippi mission has really expanded, and we've started some other stuff that people who have heard about it are now picking up on it. And one of the TV soap operas, I believe it's Days of Our Life, you can go to my column at unreportednews.net and find out, is going to build three homes for three people in Biloxi, Mississippi. And they're going to bring camera crews down this weekend and do some filming.
It's all good. It's all good. You know, it's why I guess it makes me so angry right before an election when I hear people on the left, and the people on the right, I just tell them they're fools and disagree with them and tell them why they're wrong. But what bothers me even more, I guess, is when I find people who believe in the causes you and I believe in, Sarge, and they throw up their hands and say, well, if we don't get perfection, I'm just not going to vote.
That's not
the way our process works. I'm so glad that this gives people hope. The Democrats taking over gives people hope. We still got a lot of problems in the world,
but we're on
the right track.
I'm never going to give up hope unless I die, because, I found out, and as long as I've been working this thing, I could have given up long ago.
You certainly could have, and you haven't.
But there's, there's that thing where they try to discourage you by telling you, well, one person cannot make a difference. One person can make a difference. One person may not solve the problem, but that one person can get the problem out there to the people that need to solve it. And that's why nobody should be afraid to speak out. They should be willing to stand by their convictions. And if your convictions are so weak that you can't stand by them, then you don't have much going for you.
There's an old Hebrew song. I think it comes from some rabbi. I don't remember which rabbi said it, but it's thousands of years old, one of my favorite songs. But it translates as, it's not your duty to complete the work, but it is your duty to do your part.
That's right.
And
Martin Luther King.
I think it says it all. One person can make a difference. You can't change it all by yourself, but you certainly, if we don't work together, if none of us work, then no change can happen. And that's why I wanted to give really an optimistic show today. I mean, frankly, even the president's plan in Iraq, as awful and stupid as it is, he is so isolated right now. I mean, he's completely isolated. It's not just the American people have turned against him. It's not just that Congress run by the Democrats have turned against him. Republicans are turning against him. I had John Cox on my show. He's as typical a conservative Republican as you can have, right? I mean, he was against the minimum wage and against student loan cuts and against Medicare. I mean, he's as typical as you can get. And even he wasn't defending the president's escalation. I don't know if you heard my show yesterday, Sarge. It was a pretty contentious show.
I missed it yesterday because I was kind of down and out yesterday, a little on the puny side. But I tell you how much the Republicans are losing ground. Jim and I were talking, and after this Mississippi mission and after the people in New Hampshire get down with their truck, we're going to start talking about getting NoVM radio affiliate down here in on the coast, which in December, that would have, you know, that would have been a joke.
Get them to carry the horn. What do you think, Sarge? You think you can get it?
Well, I don't know. I'm certainly going to try. You know, we're trying to. Here's what we got to do.
Love to broadcast out Biloxi.
We got to stand by our convictions, and we got to show that we are not just going to talk what we're going to do. We're going to do what we're saying, and they're seeing that we are. You know, with Head On Radio and NovaM and UnreportedNews.net all doing this for them, there's a lot of people down there that's aware of it now. And they're saying, well, you know what? These Democrats ain't so bad after all. And it's starting to click.
Sarge, when I first started doing radio, it was June 03. I had been working in Congress for 3 years, working in the minority. We just had the devastating election of 2002, where, you know, our tenuous hold on the Senate was lost. Bush was at some 70 or 80% approval rating, as was the war in Iraq. And I knew all these things that were going on that seemed like no one knew. I knew the government was manipulating intelligence. I knew that they were doing illegal things and not protecting our homeland security. And I just remember thinking at that time, I've got to talk to people. And it's amazing how far we've come, really, in just 4 years. Again, you know, until we get this president out of here, we're still in the
ELO was giving some really interesting facts yesterday. She gave it on the Cup of Joe show, and maybe she'll call in and give them again today. But, man, there's some weird stats there, and there's something really, really bad going on in Iraq that we don't even know about yet.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. I'll tell you what is going on. It's ethnic cleansing.
That's what I think, yes.
It's exactly what's happening. Shiite and Sunni, both sides are doing it. What they're doing is they're clearing out. They're taking the mixed villages, and the minorities are getting kicked out, whether they're Sunnis or they're Shiites. People are knocking on homes. And I'll tell you who is up to his neck in it, the Prime Minister of Iraq, Maliki.
Go ahead. My Iraq specialist at UnreportedNews.net was the first soldier busted for maintaining the plug while he was over there, and he's, you know, he's a real activist, and he's sent me a column, his column for today, and I'll be posting it tonight, and he tells a lot of what is actually happening down over there. And one thing he says or has told me before is that these Iraqi troops are as trained as we're going to be able to train them.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a question of training. It's not a question of training. It's a question of will.
Yeah,
that's what's going on here. They don't want to defend a united, peaceful Iraq. They want, if they're Shiites, to defend Shiite Iraq. And if they're Sunnis, they want to defend Sunni Iraq. That's why I argued on this show, heck, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, that, you know, partition and be done with it. I mean, you know, at least people will stop being killed.
Yeah.
Let's just get together, try to draw a boundary, get as close as we can to what we can agree on. Whatever they can't agree on, they're going to fight over. And then get our troops out of there.
Yeah.
Because it's not our fault that Britain designed the stupid boundaries of Iraq that make no sense anyway. It's not our fault.
It was a dumb move. Well, Mark, I'm going to let you go, and thank you for your help, and I'll be calling on you for more help.
Fair enough. And Sarge, I got to say, I am so pleased. I'm tickled pink to see you happy. I remember, what, a week ago when you were on this side of rage. And I'm just really glad to see that the Democrats, I know some of those people. I'm really glad to see that they've given you hope. And I think they're going to do some more for you.
Well,
just wait and see.
There's a lot more that needs to be taken care of.
Oh, no question about it. It's just a start.
You gotta work it as it comes. You can't, don't expect it overnight if you do your
career. No, that's right. That's certainly right. But look, they've only been in power for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And look at all they've accomplished in just 2 weeks. I'm very proud of my party. And I gotta say, it does me, just opening the newspaper and finding out that the courts told Bush, you're acting unconstitutionally, we're taking over the program, knowing that they can't, at least, it's clear now, they can't legally read our mail and listen to our phone calls. I don't know, it made me feel like America may just come out all right after all. Thanks for your call, Sarge, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Folks, if you want to call in, it's the Week in Review. All topics are valid. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275 or 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website at progressive.org. I'm not happy that Alberto Gonzalez has decided finally to let the FISA court govern the administration's domestic spying program from here on out. I see this last-minute switcheroo as a way to mask the illegality that the administration has been engaged in so far. A federal judge had already ruled that Bush's spying program not only violated the FISA Act, it also violated our Fourth Amendment rights and the entire system of separation of powers. The administration has been appealing that decision, but fearful that it might lose, it has now made a move to render the whole case moot. That's what it does whenever it gets in trouble. When the courts were likely to slap Bush down for the treatment of U.S. citizen and so-called enemy combatant Jose Padilla, Gonzalez pulled an end around that one by finally bringing charges against Padilla. This is their M.O. They flagrantly violate the law, and then at the last minute, just as a higher court is about to come down hard on them, they sneak back into arguably legal territory. This is not the kind of behavior we should expect from the lead law enforcement officer of the United States. But it is the kind of behavior I've come to expect from Alberto Gonzalez. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark in a happy mood. It does happen from time to time. Sure, we've got a long way to go, but it's just so nice to see us in the right direction. You know, it's instead of digging the hole, starting to fill in the hole, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. Use whatever metaphor you want. I was very pleased to see, Bush being forced to follow the law. What a rare event. I don't know if you heard the commentary by Matt Rothschild made just now, and I largely agree with him with I guess, more of an optimistic tinge to it. There's no question that Bush was breaking the law. There's no question that the courts caught him at it. There's no question that this reversal is to try to really avoid any kind of court scrutiny. But I see that as a good thing. They forced him to stop. And you really can't complain about that. Now, what you can complain about, and what Matt's absolutely right about, is we can't allow the 4 years of sheer illegality, sheer unconstitutional actions, to go unnoticed. And I hope and I do expect the Democratic Congress to investigate, to ask Alberto Gonzalez the tough questions, to subpoena, yay subpoena, to subpoena the thousands of pages of records. And when we find out, I'm not going to even say if, when we find out that laws were broken, to turn it over for people to be punished. And even, let's find out exactly what the president did. What did he know and when did he know it? Because Bush does have a pattern here. What he does is he says, I have the right, Richard Nixon said this too, by the way, I have the right as President of the United States, he can do whatever I want. I mean, Richard Nixon said in a very celebrated interview with David Frost, if the president does it, it's not illegal. And that's Bush's view. And so every time, whether he has secret courts that clearly violate international law, secret prisons, remember sending extraordinary rendition, sending people over to other countries to be tortured, the torture itself, which Bush said is just fine. All of these things, if you notice, there's a pattern, and here's the pattern. Bush secretly violates the law, violates the Constitution, and does really unheard of, awful, inhumane things, and illegal things. Then somebody gives a leak, tells the world about it. Bush promises to prosecute the leaker, promises to make sure that leaker pays for what they do, condemns the leaker. How dare you tell the world how I'm breaking the law? You're just helping Al-Qaeda. The newspapers report it. People get angry. Bush retreats to his next defense. Oh, it's perfectly constitutional. I'm the president. I can do whatever I want. I don't need courts. I don't need Congress. I don't need the American people. Continues to do it. The court process starts up. Congress starts up. People start getting angry. Eventually, years later, the process works, and Bush has to back down. And we've seen this time and time and time again. Guantanamo Bay, the military tribunals, the secret prisons, the torture, reading our mail, listening to our phone calls. Each and every one of these was secret. Then it was leaked. Then the leaker, Bush promised to prosecute. And then eventually it went through the system and our checks and balances worked. So praise to the leakers. Hallelujah. Praise to the leakers. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Dave from Northern California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. You know, when criminals rig elections and steal your government, you've got to expect a few problems here and there.
But we're even getting that back. I don't know if you saw in Maryland, one of the last states to still have ballots without paper records. They are now committed because they have a new Democratic government now with a new Democratic governor. They have now committed to paper records. And I assured you, I promised you, Rush Holt's bill will pass this Congress. I really think it's going to happen. And in fact, right now, the majority of states, we still got a bunch that don't, but the majority of states have paper records. But we're getting there. We're getting there, Dave.
Rush Holt is trying to advance his bill. He, too, wants paper ballots now, I think. Computers can be rigged no matter what. But anyway, what I wanted to discuss with you today, a really neat thing has happened. The congressman from Monterey, California, is Sam Farr. Are you familiar with what he's just proposed?
I am. I do know him, yes.
Well, I think that would be the answer, and I think everybody that listens should be calling Congressman's office and saying, do support that measure. The number is escaping me at the moment, but it is asking that any war powers granted to Bush be rescinded.
I have heard, I didn't realize that Farr was behind it, because I've heard lots of members of Congress say that. But in essence, it's a great idea to have a revote. They voted in 02. Well, we know a lot more than we knew in 02. We know, for one thing, they didn't greet us as liberators or throw rose petals at our feet. Simply have a revote and say, look, they told us weapons of mass destruction weren't there. They told us the connections to Al-Qaeda weren't there. They told us the Iraqis would establish a democracy and would love it, and that didn't happen either. So, you know, that war was voted on based on false premises. Let's have a revote. I think that's a great idea. And Farr is not the only one that's proposed it. In fact, I didn't know he had. I have seen others who have proposed exactly the same idea. The only problem with the Democrats is that I think they're all kind of scrambling. They all want it to be their idea. And I understand that. It's sort of it's a little vanity there. But I hope that they can all get together. I don't care whose idea it is. But it's a great proposal, and it should be pushed. Absolutely.
I've been calling his office and asking if he's getting support. He says yes, but they haven't had people come on board saying, let me co-sponsor this with you yet. Well, they hadn't as of yesterday. Maybe today it's a new...
Well, it takes time. I mean, look, the Democrats have been very busy, and I know I keep saying this, but literally the first 100 hours aren't over yet. They just did the student loans. There's one more thing to do. I think it's the oil company. The one thing they haven't done yet is cut the oil company subsidies. They've done everything else they promised to do, the Medicare, the student loans, the ethics reform, the Homeland Security, the minimum wage. One last thing to do, got to cut those oil subsidies. And then I think things will calm down a bit and they can get to the rest of their agenda. And that's understandable. I think that the way the Democrats are going to have to go on Iraq is they have to be a little careful. And I think it's important that... I mean, look, they cannot stop. It is true. They cannot stop right now the escalation. And the reason they can is very simple. When Congress puts out funds, it puts it out for a period of years. Bush is still working on the old appropriations. He's still got money in the bank. Congress can't withdraw the money that they've already put there. I mean, they could, but to do that, they'd have to pass a resolution that would have to overturn a presidential veto, and they're not going to get two-thirds in the House and the Senate. But what they can do, which is simple majorities, is stop new funding. And so while we can't stop the escalation that's going on literally right now, within 3 to 6 months, there's already a supplemental appropriations that's coming to the floor, and the Democrats definitely can act. So I like the way they're going about it. They're going to do the strong, non-binding resolution, which is all they can do right now, get a number of Republicans on board saying they're opposed to the way the president's conducting this war. And then when it comes time to cut the funds, the Democrats will say to the Republicans, you said you were against the war. You know, where are you here? And I have to say, I really think if the president continues to be as obstreperous and blind as he is, this could cause a Democratic victory for decades to come.
Well,
and so either way, I'm happy. Either we get out of Iraq, which is actually my first priority, save American lives, or if not, at very least, the Democrats are going to have a lot more power.
Well, I think if they don't support a measure like this one from Sam Farr, my particular, how I connect the dots, crazy as it may seem, I think in less than a month, they're going to invade Iran. That's the plan. It's PNAC, Axis of Evil.
I don't think it's going to happen, Dave.
Well,
I'll tell you why. I don't think it's going to happen because at this point, there is so much resistance from the American public and Congress, and heck, even Republicans, not just Democrats. I don't think they'll do it. The one thing they can do is they can do a selective bombing kind of thing. Like we did, like Clinton did actually in Afghanistan and Sudan, like Israel did with the Osirik nuclear plant. I think they could get away with not at all an invasion, but maybe a bombing of one plant or something. But that's about all they can do. We don't even have the troops. And there's no Iran is much bigger than Iraq. It has many more people than Iraq. There's no way we're going to invade Iran. We simply can't do it. We can't physically do it. We can't politically do it. I'm not saying there aren't people who want to do it. There's no question. PNACers want to do it, but it physically can't be done. So I'm not as worried about it as some people are, Dave. But we'll see. You say in a month, we'll check at the end of February. I don't think we'll be invading Iran.
Well, I'm listening to a rational person, but their purpose is that they want what's under the sands all over the Middle East.
Oh, I know that. I know what they want. What I'm saying is that the checks and balances are kicking in. That's what's so wonderful, is that our system is working. The checks and balances are kicking in, right? I mean, John Bolton is gone. Bush is going to sign a bill for a minimum wage, right? He's withdrawing some of these judges, that these right-wing judges that he was trying to slip through. I'm even, you know, I wish John Paul Stevens, Justice Stevens, a long, long life, moderate Republican appointed by Gerald Ford, who is today considered on the liberal end of the court. But if he were to die, I just think the Democrats would not allow another Alito, another Roberts, and particularly Alito, because I think Alito is worse. You know, they have the power now to do that. And so what a difference an election makes. I don't see them invading Iran. Like I said, maybe they could do a selective strike. That's about all they could do. We just don't have the support. So I'm optimistic. Heck, you know, something can always turn me around. I'll tell you this. I was very upset by the Republicans voting against the ethics bill in the Senate. I want to talk about that after the break. But, Dave, one last comment you want to make? Are you done?
Thank you so much for your thinking. But if what I am seeing is carrier groups being moved into position, and I am seeing there, even with everybody saying no extra troops, they're moving extra troops over there. And those dots do connect to me. And their axis of evil, their global domination, their grab the oil.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think having so much trouble in Iraq just grabbing the oil that they're not going to go out to Iran. If I'm wrong, I will apologize publicly on air. I just don't think they can do it now. Maybe,
right.
You know, even a few years ago. I just don't think they can.
Be right, Mark. I hope you're right.
Thanks, Dave. I'm not saying they don't want to, just to be clear. I know they want to. I just don't think that they physically can or politically can. Thanks for your call, Dave. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. It's the Weekend Review. What do you think about Barack Obama entering the ring? Let me know. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello. My name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a good mood because, you know, I read the paper and I see the retreat of the Republicans. They're not gone yet, folks. They still have a lot of power, and things they do obviously can still make me angry. But it's just nice to see them, I don't know, on the losing end. One of the things they did that did make me angry, of course, is the House, as you know, the very first thing they did, by a vote of, I think it was 430-1, voted for strict ethics regulation. Okay? That was the very first bill. It was bill number one. Things to stop the lobbyists from giving all the gifts, to stop the travel, to stop really what was bribery going on in Congress. Well, the Republicans in the Senate are filibustering the bill. 46 of the 49 Senate Republicans, including all 21 up for re-election, have decided that they're going to take a last stand at ethics. There's nothing Republicans hate more than ethics. If you cut the link between corporate money and the Republican Party, they'll have no reason to exist. After all, it's not like people love to, you know, make seniors pay more for medication and make workers suffer and make students pay very high rates for student loans. It's not like people love torturing people, but they get paid so much to do it. If you cut the links between the money and the politician, if you stop the legalized bribery, the Republican Party will just have to crawl away into a hole and not exist. Well, they understand that. And that's why 46 of the 49 Senate Republicans are filibustering the ethics bill. What does the ethics bill do? Why does it upset them so much? Well, no more trips, no more meals, no more gifts from lobbyists. That's really painful to Republicans. It went even further. It insisted that if you give money for a political campaign, remember the Swift boat liars? You got to know where it came from. No more lavish parties thrown by lobbyists. Oh, no. Remember, folks, these are the same Republicans that talk about, you know, Americans wanting tax cuts and things like that. But what they want is more corporate juice. The mother's milk of politics, they call money. And this bill would stop that. I mean, how else are you going to do as Duke Cunningham did and do a list of, you know, I'll give you this legislation for this many millions and this legislation for this many millions? So they are taking a stand. They're taking a stand for what Republicans truly believe in more than anything else. Forget the American people. Forget the flag. Forget patriotism. Forget our soldiers. There is one thing the Republicans care about. It's money. Money, 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 money. So they're going to filibuster. All right. They're going to filibuster. My response, if I were Harry Reid, I always love giving free advice to the Democratic Majority Leader. My response is, Harry Reid, make them filibuster. A filibuster, of course, requires 60 votes to break. And the Democrats have 50. They have 51, actually, but Senator Johnson of South Dakota is not in great shape. But that's not 60. It's not enough to break the logjam. So it used to be, if you wanted to do a filibuster, when Strom Thurmond was filibustering the Civil Rights Act, he had to work hard. He had to stay up all night. He had to talk for 24 hours straight. He had to pull out the dictionary and read from it. It was tough. It was tough. And after 25, 27 hours, he'd get tired of talking. Some other Southern racist had to take the job. Really, one person couldn't filibuster alone. You can't keep speaking physically that long. It took at least two. I say make them do it the old way. The old way. Keep the Senate open all night. Let's hear Republicans filibuster. Let's hear them go on and on and on about what they got to have those parties, and they got to have the trips, and they got to have the gifts, and at the very least, please give them the fancy meals. Let them beg for it. Let them beg for their fancy meals and parties and trips. Let them explain that they only know how to vote if the lobbyist tells them how to vote, and now they'll have to figure it out on their own. Let them say it all. Make them filibuster the old way. Come on, Harry Reid. Today, I mean, the last 20 years, filibusters are just, well, if you don't have the votes to stop the talking, we'll just move on to another subject. Okay, I understand why right now the Senate needs to move on to another subject. After all, even though they're filibustering the ethics reform, I think the Senate will pass minimum wage. They may very well pass the Medicare bill that allows negotiation, the student loan, all of that. Okay, we'll relax for now. We'll get this stuff through. But then we'll bring ethics back. And Harry Reid, do it the old-fashioned way. Make them talk. Make them beg for the money like the pigs that they are. And let the American people see it. I don't think that filibuster will last very long. So, what else is going on? Barack Obama is in the ring. I wish him well. When I heard him speak at the Democratic National Convention, I said at that time, this guy's running for president. He gave an amazing speech. I've seen him publicly. He is quite an orator. And his speeches are, they're moving, they're intelligent, they're detailed. They're not stock speeches. They come from the heart. I wish him well. Now, you know, he ain't perfect. Right now he's getting all the gloss on him from the media. I know he's not perfect. Heck, Sarge has already written in to say that he tried to get some help on Katrina and didn't get any help. You keep up on that, Sarge. So it's far too early to say, but I wish him well. I think he's going to do well. And one thing about him is he's been very consistently opposed to the war in Iraq. Speaking of the war in Iraq, we have, of course, Maliki, the Prime Minister of Iraq. And he is run by the Shiites. He's the Shiites' guy. He's al-Sadr's man in power. He's supposedly heading the whole government, but we all know where his loyalties lie. Did you know that Maliki was going to give a speech on the Bush plan? Did you know about this? Yeah, Bush has said that this time it's going to be different. That even though we're basically doing the same thing, we're increasing the troops to the amount that they were in December 05. I mean, the surge ain't nothing new, folks. We've tried this before. Even though we're staying the course, doing the exact same thing before, it's going to be different. And it's going to be different because Maliki, who stopped us from going after the Shiite militias back, just a few months ago, has changed his mind. And now he'll allow us to fight both the Shiite and the Sunni militias. To dream the impossible dream. Well, he was supposed to give a news conference to comment on Bush's strategy after Bush swore to us. I mean, he pinky swore. I saw it. He pinky swore to us that even though it would cost thousands of American lives and hundreds of billions of dollars, Maliki, we can all trust this guy. He will allow us to go in and get those Shiite terror squads. Well, Maliki didn't show up at that press conference. Instead, they deny that there's any sectarian conflict. They deny there's a civil war between Shiites and Sunnis. Maliki says, oh, this is all al-Qaeda and a few old supporters of Saddam Hussein. Right, right. And I got a bridge to sell you. Look, folks, this guy can't be trusted. And even though we find the president and Cheney and everyone saying, well, America, there's no option other than victory, and we're going to go and stay the course, and we can't trust Maliki. So it doesn't matter how brave our soldiers are, how well they fight, we are defending, in essence, an ethnic cleanser. We're defending, at the end of the day, someone who will probably end up as bad as Saddam Hussein. So what the heck are we fighting for? Think about it. Think about it. Yesterday, if you heard my interview with John Cox, and if you haven't, I really want to recommend taking the time to do that. We're going to replay it on Friday on Head On Radio Network so you can hear it in its entirety. But if you get a chance, it's on my website at radioinsidescoop.com, archived under yesterday's show. And we were talking about the first 100 hours, but we got on the topic of Iraq, and I asked him, what is your plan? He said, well, victory is the only option, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, let's say we have a John Cox presidency in 8 years from now. We still don't have victory. Then can we leave? Oh, well, you know, I don't think it'll take that long. Well, what if it does? Oh, well, yeah, it won't take that long. I said, well, tell me, 5 years, 3 years? How many Americans have to die for this mistake before you admit you've made a mistake? How many have to be wounded? How many Iraqis have to die? Just the other day, I saw a man with missing his leg from the knee down. And you have to remember, these wounds are permanent. But our people, well, their sons and daughters aren't fighting. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to replay the interview from yesterday with John Cox. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Guy James coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida, and around the country and around the world as well. Hello to everyone. A beautiful day here in paradise. I hope it's nice where you are as well. We're going to get a little taste of winter weather here next week when we head up to Washington, and so we're going to pack accordingly for that. That's harsh when you haven't been in it for a while. It really is. Oh, well, we'll live through it. How are you today? Hello to everybody on the Head On Radio Network chat room. Glad to see everybody over there. Got a lively group going on there today. And hello to the folks over at Democrats.com and SmirkingChimp.com and Democratic Underground and all the haunts where all our liberal Democratic friends hang out. Glad to have each and every one of you along with us today. We'd like you to join in the program, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you, okay? Give us a call a little later on. Lots going on today, many things to talk about, and who knows, we might get around to every one of them here pretty soon. I do want to confess something quickly right off the bat. Whenever we find out we've made a mistake on this program of any kind, I like to let you know about it. And recently I reported on the program, I think it was last week, about a press release from an environmental group saying that the National Park Service was not allowing its guides to comment on the actual age of the Grand Canyon. And I want to set the record straight. That report was bogus. It's not true. There was nothing more than a foolish attempt by this organization to get some much-needed notoriety, and that's the wrong kind of notoriety to get, so we will not be listening to that particular environmental group again. So there, we got that out of the way. Mea culpa. Yes, we are heading up to Washington next week on Tuesday. We're going to be meeting with Senator Debbie Stabenow and several other Democratic senators in the afternoon. They're having a Move America Forward conference, Democrats on the State of the Union. That's going to be at the Capitol building, and I always enjoy going to the Capitol for something. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we will be at the Mayflower Hotel doing our program from there. Families USA is having a conference. We'll have several significant guests on, and we're looking forward to that, discussing issues that affect all families in this country. So we're getting our suitcases packed, getting all our tech stuff ready to head on up there. It's not like it used to be. It used to be you had to take a MARTA unit or ISDN unit and all that sort of thing. Nowadays, as long as you've got access to a high-speed internet line, why, all you really need is a laptop and a mixer and, you know, a couple of microphones and headphones, that sort of thing. It's not like carrying around a great big trunk full of stuff like you used to have to do that. So we're looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to breakfast at the Mayflower. Always looking forward to that. Special thanks to Billy Shears, musical director of the Guy James Show. And we're looking forward to meeting up with Billy up in Washington. We're going to get together for one of the shows and dinner one evening, I think. So that's a special treat as well. And if you're looking, if you live around the Washington, D.C. area, one of our regular listeners, and you'd like to join us, well, let us know. Maybe we'll just get a rent a whole banquet room there at the Mayflower and have a big party. Well, if we rent the banquet room at the